Okay, so let's dive into this story. It kind of sounds like, something straight out of a monster movie, right?
Yeah.
Picture this. 1950s New York. We got Frank Costello. And this guy, everybody is saying, is like the kingpin of organized crime.
Right.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
He gets in trouble, right? But not for racketeering or any of that typical,
Please think. There we go.
the stuff you'd expect. No, he gets nailed for tax evasion.
It's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, you have Costello, allegedly, he's controlling this vast criminal empire.
Right.
And what brings him down? The IRS, of all things.
Yeah.
They use this thing called the net worth method to try and get him.
The net worth method. Okay.
Yeah.
So that sounds kind of complicated.
Yeah.
What is that? Break it down for us. It's not like they just raided his place and found like stacks of cash hidden in the basement or something.
No, not quite. It's more like how like detectives do financial investigations? It's like that.
Yep.
You're tracking someone's money, right?
Yeah.
So you're looking at everything they own. Houses, cars, if they're wearing fancy suits, things like that.
Got it.
And then you compare all that fancy stuff to what they're actually claiming they earn on their taxes.
Right.
If they're living like a millionaire,
Yeah.
but their tax return says they're, making minimum wage,
Yeah.
well, then something doesn't add up.
Something's fishy. Yeah. So
Exactly.
they were basically trying to like find that gap between what he was saying he made and what his lifestyle was actually saying he made.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. That's clever.
It is.
But what does this have to do with, hearsay, with somebody like ratting him out or something?
Well, that's where this case, it takes a really interesting turn.
Okay.
Even some experienced lawyers were surprised by this.
Yeah.
So the grand jury, right?
Right.
The group that decides whether to officially charge somebody with a crime,
Yeah.
they only heard from three people, three government agents.
These agents, what they did was they summarized a whole bunch of financial data. But here's the thing, and this is the crazy part. They didn't actually bring any of the direct witnesses to the stand.
Oh, wow.
And they didn't show any of the original documents either.
Hold on. So the grand jury,
Yeah.
which has this, enormous responsibility,
Yeah. Yeah.
they were basically making this decision of whether to indict this guy based on
Oh, it's heavy.
secondhand information.
Yeah, it was a huge deal.
That's crazy. I bet Costello's lawyers were not happy about this.
We were not happy.
Right.
They weren't happy at all. They argued that relying just on hearsay, especially in such a big case,
Right.
was totally violating his right to due process,
Yeah.
that fundamental right to a fair hearing.
Of course.
They tried everything, every legal trick in the book to get the charges thrown out, both before the trial even started
Right.
and even during the trial itself. But the courts, they weren't buying it. Not at first, anyway.
So this wasn't just like some little disagreement in a lower court or something. This went all the way up to the Supreme
I
Court.
got it. This was a massive case.
Yeah.
Different courts all over the country couldn't agree on whether using hearsay was okay in grand jury proceedings.
Oh, wow.
So the Supreme Court had to step in. They needed to settle this once and for all. Can you indict someone, especially a big name like Costello,
Right.
based mostly on, well, what's essentially rumors and secondhand accounts?
So what did they say? What was the big decision?
Well, they said yes.
Oh.
In a landmark decision, they upheld the indictment.
So they said, okay, hearsay is fine.
Pretty much. They said it was okay to use in this part of the process
Yeah.
and that decision. It had a huge ripple effect. It's still cited today.
I bet. So that's a pretty big win for the prosecution, right?
Yeah, a lot of people were surprised by that decision. Justice Hugo Black, the guy who wrote the majority opinion,
Yeah.
he had some interesting arguments. He went way back and looked at the history of grand juries. He said that they've always been a bit more informal
Okay.
compared to, an actual trial.
Yeah.
They were always meant to be more like an investigative body, just trying to see if there's enough there.
Like enough suspicion
Yeah, exactly.
to justify, a deeper look. Is
Right.
there enough smoke to justify a fire? That kind of thing.
Exactly. And Justice Black thought that demanding really strong evidence at that early stage
Yeah.
would just clog up the whole system.
Oh, okay.
Like, imagine every single little piece of evidence having to be, totally verified before it could even be shown to the grand jury. It would be a mess.
Yeah, I could see their point about, keeping things moving,
Yeah.
but I don't know, it still feels a little
Right.
iffy to me.
I
Oh, like,
understand.
what about bad information?
Right.
Like,
Good point.
what if somebody gets accused because of, evidence that isn't even really solid?
That is a legitimate concern. But the court argued that, remember, we have grand juries for a reason, right? they're there to protect people from prosecutors getting too excited and going after people without good reason.
So they're like a shield.
Yeah, like a safeguard.
Yeah.
They also said that, look, the Fifth Amendment, it guarantees the right to a grand jury, but it doesn't actually say anything about what kind of evidence they can use.
Oh, interesting.
So they basically went with a very literal interpretation, like, hey, if the Constitution doesn't forbid hearsay, we're not going to add any extra rules.
Interesting. So pretty strict reading.
Yeah.
But wait, wasn't there another side to this whole thing?
You're right, there was.
You mentioned like a concurring opinion or something?
Yeah, it wasn't a unanimous decision. Justice Harold Burton, he agreed with the outcome.
Okay.
But he added something interesting to the mix. Kind of a caveat.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting. Tell me more about Justice Burton's take on all of this.
All right, well, so Justice Burton, he said, okay, you can use hearsay, but he kind of drew a line in the sand, you know. He basically said, look, if all you got is, you know, a prosecutor with an overactive imagination and absolutely no real evidence, then that indictment, it should be thrown out.
Right. It can't just be like a free-for-all.
Exactly.
Even if grand juries have a little bit of leeway, there's got to be some kind of basis.
Right. Absolutely. He was saying, look, you can't just completely ignore the Fifth Amendment.
Right.
Right. You have to have some protection against being prosecuted for, you know, no reason at all.
Right. Right. So it's interesting, right? We've got the main opinion saying hearsay. Okay. But then we have Burton over here saying, well, hold on a second.
Yeah. He's like a voice of caution.
Yeah.
It's a good point, too.
Yeah. And that kind of creates this tension, you know?
Yeah, it does.
That's like a rule, but then an exception to the rule. But here's the thing. Burton's exception, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But how do you prove that?
Right.
That a grand jury had no real evidence at all?
That's a tough one.
I mean, those things are super secret, right?
Exactly. That's the problem. It's like this theoretical protection.
Yeah.
It sounds good in theory.
Right.
But it's practically impossible to actually use.
It's kind of like saying you can totally win the lottery. But you have to pick the same numbers as everybody else who bought a ticket.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost never happened.
Yeah.
Courts have almost never used Burton's exception. So Costello, it's had a huge impact. I mean, it's basically the case.
Really?
When it comes to grand jury stuff. And we still see its effects today.
So what about the lasting impact of Costello? I have a feeling that prosecutors, you know, they love this decision.
Yeah, you could say that.
I bet they cite it all the time.
They do. Costello gives them a lot of flexibility. They can use summaries of financial records, witness statements, lab reports, all kinds of things. And they don't have to call every single person to testify in front of the grand jury.
Yeah. So it makes things faster.
Exactly. It streamlines the whole process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see why, you know, from a law enforcement point of view, it's appealing. Right.
Yeah.
But what about, you know, the defense attorneys?
I bet they don't like it as much.
Yeah. I bet they're not celebrating this decision.
No, not at all.
Why not?
They say it gives the prosecution too much power.
Right.
They can build a whole case secretly.
Yeah.
Without the defense even knowing what's going on.
Right. And using potentially unreliable information, right?
Exactly. That's their big argument.
It does seem kind of unfair. I mean, part of due process is being able to confront your accuser.
Yeah. Right?
To actually question the evidence against you.
Yeah, that's a cornerstone of our system.
And with grand jury secrecy and all this hearsay, it's like that right is being, I don't know.
Eroded.
Yeah, like chipped away.
I understand that concern.
So it's all about balancing
efficiency
versus fairness.
Right.
Right.
It's tough.
But it seems like the Supreme Court, they really prioritized efficiency in this case.
They did. But remember, they saw grand juries as a way to protect people, too. They thought if you made the process too strict, it would make it harder for them to do their job.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's a difficult balance.
Yeah. On the one hand, you want to protect innocent people.
Of course.
From being accused.
Right.
But you don't want the system to be so slow.
Yeah, bogged down.
Yeah, that nothing gets done.
Right.
So what happened after Costello?
Well, the big change was it became much harder to challenge indictments.
Really?
Yeah. So instead of focusing on the evidence, defense attorneys had to get more creative.
Right.
They started looking for procedural errors.
Uh-huh.
Like, were there problems with how the grand jury was chosen?
Yeah.
Did the prosecutor do something wrong? Things like that. But getting an indictment dismissed because it was based on hearsay?
Yeah.
Almost impossible.
Wow. So it's like the prosecution got this new powerful tool
Yeah, you could say that.
And the defense had to come up with a whole new playbook.
Exactly.
It's like a legal chess match.
Yeah, I like that.
And the stakes are high.
They are. Even if you're innocent,
yeah,
just being indicted can ruin your reputation.
Of course.
Cost you a ton of money in legal fees.
Yeah.
It's incredibly stressful.
It's a good reminder that, you know, we talk about justice.
Yeah,
but
it's not always simple.
It's complicated,
yeah.
Right?
And Costello shows us that. They made the system faster, more efficient.
Yeah.
But at what cost?
Right. That's the question, isn't it?
It is. And it's a question that people are still debating today.
Yeah.
Are the protections we have enough?
Right.
Should we limit the use of hearsay even more?
Yeah.
Or would that just tie the hands of law enforcement?
Yeah. Tough questions.
They are. But that's what I love about these duck dives, right?
Right.
We get to really dig into these issues,
yeah,
the gray areas.
Right.
And think about how they affect everyone.
Absolutely. And Costello, I mean, yeah, it was about tax evasion and, you know, a mobster.
Right.
But this stuff, it affects everybody.
It does.
It's about due process, the
yeah,
burden of proof,
yep,
you know, the balance between what's good for society and what's good for individuals.
It's a classic legal dilemma.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's a reminder that even cases that seem, you know, really old,
yeah,
they can still have a huge impact today.
You're absolutely right. So as we wrap up part two here,
okay,
I want to kind of shift gears a bit.
Okay.
We've been looking at all the legal stuff.
Yeah, the ins and outs.
But what does this mean for, you know, the average person?
Right, right.
Why should they care about grand juries and hearsay?
Yeah.
If they're probably never going to get invited themselves.
Great question.
We'll stick around for part three.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that. What Costello means for you, the listener.
Okay, so we've spent like the last two parts of this deep dive really getting into Costello v. United States. And,
yeah,
you know, how it's kind of changed things.
How it's affected, yeah, the whole legal landscape, really.
Right. So we've seen how this big decision, it basically says grand juries, yeah, they can look at hearsay evidence when they're trying to decide if they should indict somebody.
It's a big power they have, right?
It is, yeah. And we've talked about, you know, is this really fair?
Yeah, the whole efficiency versus fairness thing.
How do we balance those things?
That's a tough one.
It's a really tough question. But for this last part,
yeah,
I want to kind of step back a little bit.
Okay.
You know, away from all the legal stuff. What does this Costello case, what does it mean for, like, the average person?
Yeah.
Somebody who might, I don't know, never even go to court.
Right. They're never going to see a courtroom.
Yeah. Let alone like face an indictment, right?
No, it's a good question. I think one of the most important things Costello shows us is just how much power prosecutors have.
Yeah. We've definitely seen that.
Right.
They can build a case using hearsay and then they can present it to a grand jury.
In secret.
Yeah. Secretly. And then they can potentially get an indictment before the person even knows what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important for everyone, even if you think, oh, I'm never going to get involved in something like this, to know your rights, you know?
Right.
And to know you can have a lawyer.
Right. Don't get your legal advice from, like, TV shows or whatever.
Oh, for sure.
Get yourself a real lawyer.
Someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah. Somebody who understands the system and can actually help you if you need it.
Absolutely. And another thing, I think Costello highlights this, especially nowadays.
Yeah.
It's so important to be able to think critically about, you know, the news you see, information you read.
Right.
Especially when it's, you know, accusations about somebody doing something wrong.
Yeah. I mean, we live in a crazy world now.
We do.
It's like instant news, social media, you know.
It's a different world.
And somebody can be accused of something and it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Before we even know if it's true.
Right. And Costello reminds us that, okay, somebody gets indicted.
Yeah.
Big news, right? But remember, it's not a conviction.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an accusation. It's the beginning of the process.
And that process uses hearsay.
Exactly. So don't jump to conclusions.
Yeah, just because you see a headline doesn't mean somebody's guilty.
Right. Wait for all the facts to come out.
Yeah. Let the whole thing play out in court.
Where the evidence is challenged, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It all comes back to due process, doesn't it?
It does.
Everybody deserves a chance to defend themselves.
Absolutely. And Costello, even though it allowed hearsay in this, you know, specific situation,
right,
it doesn't change that. Everybody deserves a fair shake.
Yeah. So if there's one thing our listeners take away from all this, I hope it's, you know,
yeah,
be informed, be skeptical.
Question everything, right.
Yeah. And stand up for due process.
It's so important.
Not just for yourself, but for everybody.
Absolutely. Costello v. United States.
Yeah.
It's like this reminder that the law, as much as we want it to be,
yeah,
fair and straightforward,
yeah,
it's not always like that. There are these gray areas.
It's messy, right?
It can be. And it changes. It evolves. And it's on all of us to really think about it, you know?
Yeah, engage with it.
Engage with it, yeah.
Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into Costello. We've covered a lot of ground. You know,
we have.
From like the basics of the case to, you know, what it means for the whole justice system.
Yeah. We talked about grand juries, hearsay evidence, the whole efficiency versus fairness thing.
Yeah. It's been a journey.
It has.
But I hope you found it, you know, interesting.
I maybe learned something, right?
Yeah. Knowledge is power, after all. And understanding the law can really help you, you know, just navigate life.
Make better decisions. Yeah.
Yeah. So stay curious, keep thinking,
keep learning,
and we'll see you next time for another deep dive
into the world of law and justice.
Until then, stay sharp, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us.